Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We are kicking off the third hour of the show. The phones are open and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about some economic things. The number one most frustrating thing to the people in the United States right now, according to a Gallup poll, is 21% of Americans said it's the government. I think it was 18% said it's inflation. About 10 or 11% said it was the economy in a more general sense. So a lot of people are frustrated with the status quo. Now, what are their solutions? Well, that's a whole other question, and then the Gallup did not answer that question. But Aria, you're sharing with us a story from the Wall Street Journal that's focusing in on how people are handling things. Is that right? What's the sort of the thrust of this story?
The economy sucks, and people are starting to notice. Really,
it just now starting to notice, according to the Wall Street Journal.
People are dense, man.
It took the $5 a carton eggs to slap people and get their attention here. By the way, it's Ian, Bonnie, and Aria in the studio here tonight. So what else do we need to
do? I do suspect people are just now starting to really notice, or it's really just starting to sink in. Annual inflation, as measured by the Consumer Price Index, remained above 5% in December for the 19th straight month, the longest such streak since the early 1980s. And all of these numbers, this is why Americans don't care about inflation. Because you start throwing these boring, tedious numbers out there that they just don't care about. When we say $5 for a carton of eggs, suddenly they care.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's probably on purpose.
I'm sure it is. Consumer spending accounts for roughly 70% of the economy. I don't know how it doesn't account for 100% of the economy, but whatever. A downshift in consumer is a key reason that business and academic economists polled by the Wall Street Journal, on average...
Are they including, like, government spending and, like, companies spending?
It doesn't say.
I mean, because, like, that would be irrelevant to the price of living as a consumer, so it doesn't make any sense.
Are you talking about the 70% number?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't say. It just says that 70% of the economy is consumer spending. So the average person is putting the probability of a recession in the next 12 months at 61%.
What the hell do they know?
Yeah, I would suggest the number is 100% because we are, in fact, in a recession. And we have been
by
for several months.
By the old definition of it, yes.
Well, by any definition that isn't completely insane, no. I would argue that we are demonstrably in a recession.
If the average person is just now figuring, if we're to believe the Wall Street Journal, and I have no reason to believe them about this, but if the average person is just now taking note of inflation, then they're going to be way behind the ball as far as knowing whether or not a recession is coming.
Good point. One factor making forecasting more difficult, while unemployment is trending at a half-century low, big companies including Amazon, Goldman Sachs, and Microsoft.
How in the hell can that
be possible? Man. They say, I know, that was my first thought too, because all I see everywhere are
help wanted signs. Right across from the courthouse in Concord, there's this little Italian restaurant that, you know, everybody in the courthouse goes to because you only get 45 minutes or an hour for lunch and you don't have time to go get in a car and drive downtown and then park and then get out and then go and get a table or whatever. You have no time to eat anywhere else. So this is the place where everybody goes.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But 45 minutes is barely enough time to sit down and order and eat.
It's not. I actually had to send, when I was on trial, I had to send Bonnie out a half hour early so she could go in, get a table, get an order in. That way, when I finally got there, I only had to wait like 10 minutes before the food came out.
Actually, I had to go outside, then go to the car up the street, unlock it, and get our money out, then go all the way back. It was just so ridiculous.
Huge hassle.
Yeah.
But I bring them up because on the sign, on the marquee out in front of the restaurant, it says cooks needed. That is different than help wanted. It used to say help needed. On the sign during my trial, it said help needed. They then changed it to cooks needed. So they are so desperate for help. They're using the term need instead of want, right? Like there's a level of
desperation. I've never seen that in a place.
Yeah, me neither. But it does suggest like that's how bad. Like if you can cook an egg, like they're gonna train you on how to cook the rest of that stuff because they need someone who can just show up on time and can actually like not call out and be a total loser.
Well, you're not gonna find that, man.
That's the thing. They're not finding it.
The rate of people calling out, and I've heard that it's probably always been like this, but I don't know, man. The rate of people calling out and being late and stuff.
It's worse now?
I don't know if it's worse now, because, you know, I don't really have anything to compare it to.
Well, you were a managerial before COVID, weren't you?
Yeah, but I don't pay attention to that kind of crap, and the only reason I do now is because it affects me more than it did then. Mm-hmm. But I still don't tend to pay attention to how often people call out or not. If they call out at my shift, then yeah, I make a mental note of it, okay. But I don't pay attention to, this person called out 4 times last month or whatever, because I don't care. If you want to call out from work, that's generally your business, not mine. Mm-hmm. I would just like to remind all of these people, though, that you're not screwing over the company or the CEOs or whatever when you call out of your place of employment. You're just screwing over your coworkers. Mm-hmm. All the work is still
going to pick up the slack.
Yeah, all of the work is still going to get done. They don't just get to leave jobs unfinished because someone called out. No, they have to work hard to make up that difference. You're not screwing over anyone except your fellow workers. So if you're communist out there talking about just call out whenever you want, screw the man, well, you're not screwing over the man.
Mm-hmm.
The man's going to make sure that the job gets done. And your coworkers, the people whose side you're supposed
to be on. Unless everybody calls out, then the business is going to go out of business and you'll never go back there again.
Right, but that's not very likely either. The last bastion of strength is the labor market, but I don't think it can withstand all these other forces, said Nationwide Chief Economist Kathy Bonshankic. I don't know what the hell is that name. And what forces? They didn't specify any forces that the labor market has to withstand. They have not specified a single force that they're talking about.
I guess it's the force of people not wanting to work in this case. And I remember one of the theories before, because we've been wondering aloud about why people aren't working.
People have always said that no one wants to work. I mean, there are newspapers from like 1920
That's not true.
It's not true now either.
No, but before, it is definitely true now. People do not want to work right now for whatever reason. That's why they're not working.
I don't think it's any more true now than it was, you know, when people were saying it in the 20s or whatever.
Well, I don't know what it was like in the 20s or the 1920s, because I wasn't alive back then. But I know that just several years ago, it was a employer's market because people were desperately competing for jobs, and it wasn't as easy to find work. In just several years ago, we still have the Holland Cook, what were they called, survival speech. Yep. So I'm still airing them just because it's still good advice. But the survival speech, if you listen to our online streams at freetalklive.com occasionally during a commercial, you'll hear survival speech. It's like these little tips, these minute-long tips at, you know, how to best present yourself to get a job and things like that. And when he wrote those, it was written at a time when you needed to do everything you could to best the competition to get a job, because there were more people applying for jobs than there were jobs to fill.
Right.
The opposite is true now.
Yes, and I'm very happy about that because, you know, the minimum wage, it creates unemployment, which means it creates more people than there are jobs, which makes you and I, the average person out there, have to compete with one another to get those jobs. But it stands to reason that you could have the opposite, where there are too many jobs and not enough people to actually fulfill them. And I didn't think this was possible in any realistic sense. I didn't think not unemployment, but the opposite of unemployment would ever actually exist. But for some reason, it does now. There are too many jobs and there aren't enough people to work them as far as we can tell, which means that companies, for the first time in my entire life, have to compete with one another.
Yeah, and they've been lowering, which is great for the person looking for work. They're lowering their standards. They're making it so you don't need a college degree anymore. And many of the jobs you previously needed a college degree, you don't anymore.
Yep. I remember the first really shocking sign that went up in Keene and that we were all talking about was Wendy's put up a sign like last year, a year and a half ago, that said, hiring all positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're not the only ones.
Sounds like nobody's in the building.
It was so bad that they actually had to close down portions of the day.
Yep. Yeah. Many places have closed. McDonald's has, and I'm not a big fan of McDonald's, but they used to be 24 hours here in Keene. They're not now. And there are some days where they, not much so recently as I understand it, but there were some days where they didn't even, like, open. A McDonald's not opening
it's
on some day.
Yeah.
But now it's... Back in, you know, when I started looking for jobs 6 years ago or whatever, you sit down and the employee goes, well, what do you have to offer us?
Yeah.
Well, now you are asking that to the employer.
Right. Yeah, and what do you have that's going to make you a better option than the 20 other places with a help wanted sign out down the street?
Yep, and a lot of them don't have an answer, but they're being forced now to come up with answers, and it's a good thing for the people out there who... One employment.
It is, but we still don't know why.
I was going to say, I'm still confused about what changed.
I don't know.
I heard somebody speculate that immigration is down for whatever reason. Maybe it's due to the COVID regulations and stuff. Like a lot of people who had come here for temporary jobs. Because remember, Bonnie, we were at a restaurant out in the Seacoast area, this Mexican place, and there was like this guy that had was working there from Peru.
It was the Lakes region. It was
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, the Lakes region. Laconia. He was there from Peru, and he came up, you know, for part of the year to work, and part of the rest of the year he was in Miami, and then part of the other rest of the year he was down in Peru. And so like he's one of these migrant workers that they just come to the United States for part of the year, make some money, and bring it back to their family down south. The suggestion, I believe, it was Jay Freeville in our chat that had made this one, was that the market was clamping down on those things because it's harder to migrate because of all the COVID restrictions. So many of those people just aren't coming here, and they're filling that they would normally fill those jobs, and right now they're just not. I don't know if that's true, but it's an interesting theory.
It is an interesting theory. I mean, Trump and Biden have made it harder to immigrate to America legally.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's certainly a factor. It may not be one of the biggest factors or the biggest factor, but it's got to be a factor, right?
But how can they say that unemployment is at such low levels? I just don't even understand that.
I don't either.
And I just started recording it in a different way.
Well, and I understand that in order to be quote-unquote unemployed, you have to be, I think, looking for work, right? Like there's
I don't think that accounts for it, though.
But the people who aren't looking for work aren't counted as unemployed.
Right. So I still don't think that accounts for what we're seeing on the streets, though. Which is just more jobs than there are people.
Well, that's definitely true. We know that that's happening. We can see that. But as far as the number of unemployment, if it's like, well, it's a record low unemployment rate. Well, we know there's plenty of jobs that are available, but that's not what they're calculating. They're only calculating, as I understand it, the people who are seeking employment. So if you're just like total welfare queen, you're like, screw this, I'm going to live on my parents' dime for the rest of my life, you're not actually an unemployed person, according to the statistics.
Another thing is, like, think about all the people that had to quit their jobs, especially in the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not going back.
Can't say that I blame them.
Right.
Yeah, but don't they have mouths to feed? Don't they have, like, kids at home? Don't they have to take care of themselves?
Maybe, but... Recent layoff trends worry Benjamin DeLong, a 32-year-old customer account manager at an industrial manufacturer. His savings rose to $3,700 during the pandemic, thanks in part to government stimulus, but he's now down to about 3 cents.
Oh, my God.
So he's liquidated $3,700 of his savings, his entire savings. Maybe that's what a lot of these people have done, is they just relied on their savings. And maybe that's what they're doing right now. I tend to think that's not the case.
$3,000 isn't even going to pay the rent for 6 months.
No, and most people don't have savings. So I don't know if that's a factor or not. But
by the way, the Bitcoin stimulus, we did this off the air. We didn't say what it was on the air. You had mentioned that when the $1,200 so-called stimulus check came out in 2020 in April, we had suggested...
Yeah.
That people buy cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, for instance, with that. And if you did, if you at the time spent all $1,200 on Bitcoin and you held on to it, you didn't sell the Bitcoin between then and now, it would be worth over $4,000 today.
More than three times.
Yeah.
An increase in value.
And it would have already passed the highest Bitcoin's ever been. So if you would have, like, you know.
You could have sold at the top if you knew when, which you never do.
Right. But I'm just saying. It got even higher at some point.
This guy only had $3,000 in savings. Had he put the $1,200 that he got into the Bitcoin, he'd have.
He would have more than that still, yeah. Really good point.
Yeah.
Mr. DeLong said he had to dip into his savings to cover the rising costs of his groceries, utilities, and car insurance.
There you go.
He has found,
not to mention rent. A lot of people's rent's gone up 30-40% in 1 year to the next.
Well, you can cut out some of your groceries, I'm sure, by buying, you know, generic brands or whatever. Maybe you can't. You can cut out your car insurance, certainly. Just don't do it. It's maybe your state requires you to have it because, you know, they're facilitating the exchange of wealth into the hands of insurance companies. But if you don't absolutely have to buy car insurance, you'll probably be just fine without it.
If you're going generic buying groceries, I mean, that's always a good plan if you need to save a little bit of money. But now you're just going to be spending as much as you used to on generics. You're going to spend as much as you used to on brand names on generics because the price of the generics is going up too.
Right, but you may get more food now because now you're buying generics instead of the name brands.
Yes, but it's still going to cost you.
Right. He has found some relief in his grocery bill since he and his partner decided last year to purchase some pigs jointly with other families to be raised on a relative's farm. That's curious. How much pig do you eat, man, that buying some
You usually
pigs?
Get a lot of pig when you go in with somebody else.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Jay Noon about it, and he thinks I only need half a pig.
That would literally fill that whole freezer.
Yeah, I guess so.
Half a pig?
The problem
I didn't think it'd be that much.
It's too much, I think.
Pigs aren't that big. I mean, they're big, but like...
Yeah, they're big, and they will make a lot of cuts of meat. I wouldn't want to hold on to that much meat because if the, you know, electricity goes out, then your freezer's everything in there's going to spoil.
Their portion of meat yielded nearly 150 pounds, saving them about $500 on groceries, Mr. DeLong estimated. Man, okay. I mean, I guess he experienced it. He lived it, so he saved money by buying pigs, but it seems like I have to imagine they spent more than $500 in labor and stuff just to make all of this happen. But I don't know. The possibilities...
You will spend more, typically, on a local farm than you will at the grocery store.
Right, but you're spending
production.
For more nutrition.
But purportedly, it's better, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have the money for better, right? If they could, they'd be eating organic or whatever, but they don't have the money for
that. Yeah, but if you're buying a local... You don't just get a pig from, like, the grocery store.
Right.
He's getting it from a co-op or something like that, so it's got to be coming local. It's got to be more expensive. I don't know how he's saying he's saving money.
Well, he said he went in with some other families, so maybe somehow...
Yeah, some other families purchased some pigs, and they're raising them on a relative farm. So he's, like, half rancher in his spare time.
Mm-hmm.
Which also costs time.
Right. The possibility of layoffs, he said, is part of the crunch that I'm having to consider now. What's going to happen if I no longer have an income? So far, jobs have remained plentiful and wages continue to rise in the face of Federal Reserve tightening. Unemployment was a low 3.5% in December.
Wages aren't rising because the Federal Reserve is quote-unquote tightening. The wages are rising because of inflation, and these companies have to offer more in order to attract people to work for them.
Hourly wages were up a robust 4.6% year over year, but look at how much inflation was up year over year.
Yeah.
And you'll see that, what was the inflation number last month, like 8% or something?
No, it's quote unquote down to like
the rate is rising. The rate, the
5 and change.
Currency is inflating is going down, not the actual inflation.
Correct, yeah. Inflation is still going up.
It's still above 4.6%.
It is.
So you're making less money now. You're spending more money than you were a year ago, even if your wages have gone up.
You always have to remember, even if wages have gone up 4 to 6%, they always trail the inflation. Yeah. So inflation keeps on running, and then maybe you'll get a wage increase 6 months or a year down the road, and then it's you're still behind the ball.
There were about 10.5 million unfilled jobs available in November. That's a metric I like. Don't tell me the unemployment numbers anymore.
Right.
Tell me the unfilled jobs number.
That's amazing.
What was it?
10.5 million.
Yeah. Households had a ton of comfort they don't normally have about their job prospects, said Marion Wanamaker. They knew they could get a job tomorrow if they wanted to, and that remains mostly true. Still, there are signs of labor market weakness. Employers are shedding temporary workers at a fast rate, and people who lose their jobs are taking longer to find new ones. Meanwhile, the number of hours worked a week has declined for 2 straight months, according to the Labor Department, resulting in a slowdown in workers' take-home pay. So people are also making less money.
How can people simultaneously say that, oh, I know I can get a new job tomorrow, and also be like, I had to take the vaccine because I would have lost my job?
Well, maybe they couldn't get a new job tomorrow then, or maybe they didn't think they could. I mean, this has been a, 3-year process of watching it happen, and the unemployment signs, they didn't just, it wasn't the case just overnight that suddenly you could go into anywhere and get a new job, right?
I don't know. I remember during 2020 on Free Talk Live, there was all this talk about, like, where are the jobs going? Oh, they're probably just going off and taking the $600 a week unemployment. That's where all the people are going for jobs.
A lot of people were, yeah.
There was already, like, a lot of people who wanted to hire people that had no one that wanted to work for them back in 2020, and the vaccines started rolling out in 2021. It's just that I was talking about this conversation with somebody at the State House the other day. I was just like, I never understood being like, oh, I cannot lose my job. But maybe it's because I purposely never wanted to work anything that wasn't like entry level so I could quit it if it was inconveniencing mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, seniority and pay wage increases. I mean, sure, I could quit my job tonight, and I can certainly find another job tomorrow doing whatever. But I won't have the seniority. Mm-hmm. I won't have the benefits. I won't make as much money, and I won't have the guaranteed hours.
Yeah, sure.
I can work as many hours as I want at my current job. They're never going to tell me, hey, you've reached 20 hours. You need to go home, right? I can work 110 hours a week if I want to. I can't do that if I just quit my job and go to McDonald's. So sure, technically, I could find another job tomorrow. I have no doubt that I could, but it's not going to be as good.
Yeah, you wouldn't have the relationships.
Right, and there's always going to be some sort of trade-off, right? I mean, maybe if they're like, okay, well, you got to get the vaccine if you want to keep your job. Maybe at that point, it becomes worth it to go find a different job if they don't also have that requirement. But because of all of those relationships that I've established and the fact that I've been there for so long anyway, that little, quote, requirement never came into existence. Mm-hmm. And if it did, it was just going to get swept right under that rug anyway, where everyone just assumed I was vaccinated and I never actually had to be.
Nice.
Which is how it ended up playing out anyway. No one's ever asked me if I'm vaccinated. Everyone just either assumes that I am or they know that I'm not. So they purposely
don't ask
me the question.
Yeah. What you don't know can't hurt you.
Right. In mid-November of last year, Mr. Anderson, he's the owner of First Class Tattoo, blah, blah, blah. He started getting calls from clients who had booked day-long tattoo sessions, saying they could only afford shorter ones or were pulling out altogether. Mr. Anderson specializes in tattoo projects that often take 5 or 6 all-day sessions to complete. Good Lord. Had 15 cancellations for full-day slots in December.
Damn.
That's more along the lines of what I would expect.
That's brutal.
Yeah, but what do you want done to your body that is worth an all-day tattoo session in the first place?
You know how tattoo people are. I mean, a lot of them are like, totally hooked on it. Like, they just keep on getting them. As long as they got a spare inch, they're going to get a tattoo.
I guess, but there's better ways. Look, if you want to make daddy angry, just date a black dude or something. That'll do it.
This is the way he makes his money, and he lost 15. That's half a month.
Yeah.
That's half a month's worth of bookings, presuming he works all 30 days a month. So it's probably more than half. He's only working 5 days a week.
Yeah, he's saying people calling up, this is in 15 years, I've never seen this. They don't have the money to spend right now.
Well, that's like a luxury thing.
Right.
You know,
that's what people are going to cut.
Yeah, if you're poor, you're not going off and getting a tattoo unless you're just really dumb.
They're cutting the luxury things. And because they still got to buy food. There's more coming up here. I mean, do you want the eggs or do you want a tattoo? You can join us here. 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
KSA News Update. Another Memphis police officer involved in the Tyree Nichols traffic stop has been relieved of duty. On Monday, Memphis police said Officer Preston Hemphill and one other unidentified officer were relieved of duty while the investigation continues. Nichols' family attorney is familiar, Attorney Benjamin Crump. He says he's not satisfied.
We have a lot of questions that have to be answered over this sixth officer as well as others.
Also on Monday, the Memphis Fire Department announced it fired two paramedics who responded to the scene for failing to give proper aid to Nichols. Congress is now investigating unemployment fraud from the pandemic that resulted in billions of dollars in losses for the state of California. California officials estimate the number could be up to $20 billion in improper pandemic unemployment payments. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah! It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here even now. There's plenty of time for you if you dial in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have there for you. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Whether you want to comment on the economy or whatever happens to be on your mind, we also discussed the library case a lot earlier in the show tonight. Bonnie does have a story about apparently a judge committing suicide in a little bit. We can share that with you as well. And don't forget, you can join us online anytime. We do have our own social media platform. We run it. It's open source. It's self-hosted. It is a Mastodon system. We've apparently run into some troubles doing the upgrade. There was supposed to be an upgrade done last week. I don't know when it's going to. It'll be done when it's done. We do know the upgrade is available. I'm looking forward to seeing if it adds any decent features to the back end, because I'm so tired of hitting these reports from all these wussies on these other Mastodon servers that just can't handle freedom of speech like we have on our servers. So they'll report one of our users for something that our users said, and it's just like, we don't care what you, we don't care that you don't like our users.
Yeah, there's a block button, yeah, that's right. What I don't understand. I have, like, at least two people blocked on there.
One of the reports we got was so obviously bad. It was like, this person keeps interacting with me despite my request for them not to interact. I'm like, dude, just
hit the block button.
Instead of tagging in an admin to block the person for you and get them, you know, freaking removed from the platform, just click the block button.
But the worst thing is, we're saying this on the radio, but we can't tell the person who reported this because it doesn't tell us who it is. It just says someone from the server that the someone is on. Because remember, Mastodon is decentralized, so there's like thousands of Mastodon servers. So we can identify the server, but if there's like 200 people or 2,000 people on that server, we don't know who it was that actually made the report. Yep. So it's like the least transparent form of reporting system. If we have the name of the person who is giving the report, I would take the time to go tell that person to cut it out and use the block. Don't be such a pussy and use the block button. Like, learn how this works.
I think I'd be a little nicer than that. I would hope.
Maybe I get a little more frustrated as they continued to report.
Good point, yeah.
But anyway, I'm hoping the new version has better features, but I have no expectation that it will, because the problem with Mastodon is it's programmed by a bunch of commies out in Europe, or a bunch of socialists.
I mean, which is fine, because they allow us to have our, you know, little anarcho capitalist.
Well, they can't stop us.
True.
So, like, when Gab went on the Mastodon, they had an S-fit about it, but they couldn't stop Gab because it is an open source project.
Just disfederate from them.
They did.
That's what you want.
They did. And some of them have disfederated from our server.
And I'm heartbroken about it.
Social, check it out at social.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. Ricky is on the line in Pennsylvania, a.k.a. Ricky from the Commonwealth.
That is me, Brother Ian. Thank you very much.
Dude, how long has it been? Like 5 years since you've called this show?
I believe so.
What has been happening to you? I mean, there's all kinds of theories about what happened to you. Like,
oh, do tell. I'd love to hear a little bit.
I don't know. There was just, it's been so long since I've heard the theories. I mean, it's been 5 years since you've called in.
Yeah, we had a Discord server then, so, I mean, we'd have to look on there for those, but that got
deleted.
So,
So what's been going on, man? What happened to you?
Long story, Brother Ian. It's too long, probably.
Weren't you, like, wearing a Confederate flag or something like that? What was the last thing you called about? It was something, you were doing something on, like, the city bus, or I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah, actually, that was. There was a problem with wearing my Confederate flag.
Okay, I remembered it. Okay, very good.
That was the end, yeah.
Yeah, I think people thought something happened to you over that, you know? Like there was somebody thought you might have gotten in a fight on the bus system or something over your flag.
Well, not to that extent.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I can't get away with that no more. It's very disappointing. I cringe every time I hear people say that it's a traitorous flag, and I'm like, how can it be a traitorous flag when the battle flag in North Virginia is how can it be traitors when you're doing something you're allowed to do?
Right.
Well, it was treasonous to the United States government. I mean, that was the whole point.
Excuse me?
The whole point of the rebellion, the Confederacy, was to be traitorous to the United States government. That was, like, literally the point.
I don't know if that's true, because trading, being a traitor isn't just saying, hey, I'm out.
It's not a death pact. It's not a death pact, Miss Aria.
Well, that makes them a traitor, though. If you're like, okay, look, I'm...
No, you're not stabbing them in the back.
Yeah, traitors when you, like, provide comfort to the enemy.
Oh, wait, whoa. They went through the process as it's described in the Constitution. They got their signatures. They sent their damn letter. The legislature of South Carolina voted, they blew it away, and that was it.
Look, I'm not saying they were in the wrong.
There is no process in the Constitution, by the way. Ricky, there is no process in the Constitution for leaving the United States, which is why you can leave the United States without having to ask permission. You don't have to get any signatures and present them to the federal government. You can just declare independence.
The traitor was Lincoln. Traitor against humanity.
That's a good point. Go ahead.
Brother Ian, it is described where it even goes into there's a line where it says the process is you have to secede as a whole. No. You can't do it in part like New York City wants to do from New York State.
What's the section?
Oh, I don't know.
It's because it's not in there.
Look it up.
It's not in
it
there.
It is there, believe
no,
me.
No, dude, I'm not going to believe you because we researched this recently when New Hampshire, I know maybe you haven't been listening for the last 5 years, but last
maybe
year
not.
New Hampshire had the proposal that could have gone on to the ballot had the state reps voted for it, but that, sadly most of them didn't. But we would have declared peaceful independence from the United States. And the reason why we can do that without having to ask permission is because there's nothing in the Constitution that explains how to leave. It's just it's left up to the states by via the 10th Amendment.
Well, it's interesting you say that because there was an incident at the time of Jefferson when he was president, when Virginia wanted to leave, and there was a back and forth between the letters. And originally Jefferson was saying, nah, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Nah, nah, nah. But on the last letter, he says, in his words, do what you must. Now, Virginia didn't do that ultimately at that time. It wouldn't be for like another 60 years, you know. But it shows that this is not new. And I think people should be able to leave like Texas. Texas wants to leave, let them leave.
I saw somebody made a great point today. I don't know how old this makes them, but they said when they were born, there were only 48 states in the Union. And I had to look it up because I was like, when were Alaska and Hawaii put in again? Like, how old did that make him? And it was 1959. So, like, there are people living today that were alive when there were 48 states in the Union. It's not like 50 is set in stone, you know?
Well, actually, if I may, Miss Bonnie,
mm-hmm.
there's actually in the reality, there's only 46 states. There's four commonwealths.
Oh, what are the four commonwealths?
Virginia?
Massachusetts, Kentucky.
Oh.
Virginia
and Pennsylvania.
I didn't know Kentucky.
What is the difference between a state and a commonwealth?
Well, simply put, if you look it in the dictionary, it goes back to exactly the early part of our government. You know, a state is something with a very strong central government, you know, and then you have a commonwealth is a territory that is or if you will, in our case, ratified, that is of the people, for the people, by the people, the powers in the people.
It's the exact same thing, just with a bunch of BS malarkey surrounding it. I mean, look, the state of Massachusetts isn't some low power state run by the people. It's a total tyrannical despotism.
Well, that's Massachusetts' problem, and part of the reason is the way they handle their courts. That's one of their biggest problems. You know, there's a big difference between Massachusetts and Pennsylvania. Now, our closest sister would be Virginia, and that's been that way since the beginning of this country.
But doesn't Pennsylvania and Virginia, don't they have the same problems of an overgrown tyrannical state as, you know, Massachusetts?
No, oh. That brings me to something that I was going to get into.
See, I didn't know we had, you know,
Virginia, you can't even have a speed, you can't even have a radar detector in Virginia. And Philadelphia is so nasty.
I'm very lucky to be in PA. Good example. Look at Governor Shapiro, our new governor.
I have no idea who that is.
We have this thing between him and Mastriano, that Christian nationalist.
All names I don't have any recognition of. All I know is liberty-minded activists like Derek Jay escaped Jeremy Kaufman, who we spoke about in the first hour and a half of the show, the founder of Library. He escaped from Philadelphia as well.
Well, Philly's like its own little world, you know. So.
It's part of Pennsylvania, isn't it?
It is. But,
and I've always heard that it's more expensive to live in a commonwealth because they take more taxes from you.
That's not true. Like, for example, when I pay my cell phone bill, all I got to pay is 6 cents sales tax. I don't have to pay tax on food. I don't have to pay tax on clothing. You know, so
I pay no sales tax.
Yeah, we live in New Hampshire. There's no clothing or food tax here, unless it's prepared food.
Yes. Which is great. It should be that.
But we're not a commonwealth.
Is there a prepared food tax in Pennsylvania, meaning that if you go to a restaurant, is there a tax on the bill there?
That's a good question. Actually, they were trying to do that for a while. Do they still do it?
Well, if they have a sales tax, then by definition they do, right?
Huh?
If they have a sales tax, then by definition they have a tax on prepared food.
Well, I don't actually get one when I go to a restaurant. Like if I go,
you pay a sales tax, right?
I know that. I pay a sales tax. Yes.
What's the sales tax?
That's a tax on prepared food.
What's the 6%. Sales tax in 6%?
6% on non-food or clothing items.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not lower taxes that separate a commonwealth from a state, and it's not the unoverbearingness of their government, then what, again, is it that separates a commonwealth from a state?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of similarities in Pennsylvania and New Hampshire. Ian pointed that out, and there is. The way we handle the right to bear arms, as an example.
Right, but it sounds like there is no difference.
There is no difference. It's just nonsense.
Do you have constitutional carry in Pennsylvania?
Not yet. We do have open carry.
Really? Without a license?
Yes, and you don't have to register in PA anyway.
Wow, I'm surprised.
In fact, it's illegal for the law enforcement to keep a registry.
So, were you calling about any specific reason tonight, Ricky, or just calling to, check in and, say hi?
I was going to talk about the madness that has become the Republican Party, something I've never seen, but I don't know if I have time, brother.
Yeah, you got time. What about the Republican Party?
Well, I mean, I've seen things like I've never seen before. I mean, after the Trump years, I'm watching what happened in this new election, 2022, the midterms. I see things like I've never seen before. First of all, I can't see a party that could do more things wrong than these guys did. Number one.
Can you give us an example?
Okay. There are three topics. Let's see. Anti-abortion, lowering taxes, and tough on crime. Now, all of that was a lie. Just judging by their first week as they took over from the House after that spineless jackass, Kevin McCarthy, I don't want to call him speaker, he don't deserve it, took over. But, I mean...
So you're saying you don't believe the Republicans are going to lower taxes?
Oh, I know they're not, because they are...
Was there a time when you actually did think they would?
No. Not my lifetime.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
But
they're liars.
Oh, they're the worst. They're the worst. I mean,
well, the Democrats are bad, too. They also lie.
Oh, but dude, to no expense, brother Ian. I mean, I've never seen anything like these guys. You got guys like running like Herschel Walker as an example. You got this, you got Trump, and an answer to him is he's still a criminal. To answer your question, sister, Aria, you see, the problem with Trump is he took all this stuff, 325 classified documents, thousands of other documents, and then a bunch of file folders that say top secret because he says they were a cool keepsake. And there's a problem with this. They're not his damn documents. They belong to the American people. A year went by.
Well, isn't he one of the American people?
Huh?
Isn't he one of the American people? Why shouldn't he be able to have a copy?
Because they belong to all of us, not him.
Well, they're copies. You can get them somewhere else.
Let me make a copy. A copying isn't theft, right?
When you just take stuff without any authorization,
He just took a copy of it.
Surely they aren't the only copy. I mean, it's government. They got to have forms in triplicate at least.
Well, they probably do, but nobody's even aware of this,
I just don't care. Who cares about their dumb copies of their stupid laws or whatever filings
they have?
Doesn't that
mean, by definition, that they're keeping a secret from all of us? So how does it belong to all of us?
Good point.
Well, it's classified information, but technically it's our information because we pay them. That's
right. It's like
what about
the rooms
when Edward Snowden came out with some classified information that was supposed to belong to all of us? They got mad and tried to put him in jail.
Yeah, they still would if they had the chance to get their hands on him. It's like Bonnie. It's like all the rooms in City Hall that you can't go into, but yet you're forced to pay for. They're your rooms. You just have no access to them and no control over them.
And no ownership claim of them.
The people that work in there don't want to answer any of your questions and will call security if you ask them what their name is.
In the same way, the Commonwealth is your government. You're just not part of it.
Well, actually, the good news is I really am part of it.
Are you working for them?
No, but I mean, as far as electing our officials and getting rid of them, that we do very well here.
Could have fooled me.
What if you voted for someone who lost?
Yeah, and when we do our referendums and stuff, goes.
Swapping out one bureaucrat for another doesn't seem to me to be, worth bragging about.
I'm pretty sure it's possible to live your entire life in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and everybody you have ever voted for lost, so then are you not part of the Commonwealth?
Well, no. What do you mean? Would you repeat that?
If everyone you ever voted for lost and didn't get elected, does that still make you part of the Commonwealth because you're voting, even though everyone you voted for lost?
Well, of course it does. Your say matters as much. Like, I'm going to be calling a few officials in the future. I'm going to be calling Governor Shapiro. I already know his answer on this. I'm going to be calling Matthew Cartwright, the U.S. representative.
You know what? It really bugs me, people dropping names. I don't know who these people are, and I don't care who they are.
Well, they're members of the government, Ian. And the reason why...
I thought you were a member of the government.
No.
Oh, okay. So there is a difference between you and the government.
Of course there is. I'm not a member.
So you're not part of the government?
No.
Okay. How do you feel about Pennsylvania voting in that dead guy this year?
What dead guy?
I thought that... It wasn't Pennsylvania.
I don't know where it was.
I thought that happened.
No, that wasn't your sweetheart. I don't think so.
I'm just happy we established that you recognize that you are, in fact, not the government, and that the government is an entity that is distinct and separate from you, and, I don't know, do you think they rule over you?
No.
Oh.
Here's the thing. They're here basically in Pennsylvania. They're here to service. They really operate that way. If they don't, they don't last. They get voted out. I know. I've been here long enough.
Yeah, it was Pennsylvania.
Oh my God.
That voted in a dead guy. His name was Anthony DeLuca. He was dead for a month before he got elected.
Pennsylvania, by the way, has a $45.2 billion state budget, which is up from like 40 and change billion in 2021. So like the state budget sure does keep increasing over there. It doesn't seem like they're concerned with the size of government at all. They're making the government bigger there. That must be what the people want, right, Ricky?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is there is one good positive at least that happened lately. For the first time that I've been around anyways, there's actually a Democratic legislature by one seat.
This is a good thing?
yeah, because I'd like to see recreational league come to PA, and that's what my folks...
Y'all don't even have that yet?
Yeah, for some reason I thought that...
Jeez.
No, we got medical. The problem is the Republican legislature, they couldn't even bring it to the floor.
Well, I thought the Commonwealth means that the people get what they want.
They do. There was a vote on medical. We got that.
But that doesn't help
everybody.
Has there been any polling on the people of the Commonwealth to find out if they want recreational marijuana?
Officially, not that I've heard, no.
People you just aren't paying attention. I guarantee you there's polling out there. There's the people in the United States across almost every state support the idea of cannabis being legal.
Oh, most definitely, Brother Ian. I know the Democrats have wanted for federal for years. And the problem is big pharma.
So let's say they legalize pot.
66%, by the way, in favor of, this was in September of 2022, 66% of registered Pennsylvania voters are in favor of legalization of recreational marijuana, according to a CBS News poll. I mean, it was that easy to find it.
Well, it looks like they can't.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, it looks like they don't actually own the government.
There might be a chance now that there actually is a Democratic legislature can be brought to the fore, and that's why I'm going to be making
it. It didn't help in the United States. Like, there's been a Democratic legislature there, and they didn't do it.
Federally, yeah.
Jersey did it.
No, okay. But federally.
Yeah, federally it didn't work.
So let's say that Pennsylvania...
There's an easy answer to that. The problem is the Republicans are knee-deep in bed with Big Pharma, and the reality is... Recreational weed.
Have you been paying attention to what happened after COVID? Because the Democrats are also knee-deep with Big Pharma. I don't know if you noticed that.
The whole COVID shot's a mess as far as I'm concerned. I didn't take it, nor would I. You know?
I got to say, Ricky, you are an interesting character because on one hand, you would wear the Confederate flag as a uniform. On the other hand, you support legal cannabis. You also think the Democrats are better off in charge. I mean, you're just full of all kinds of interesting distinctions.
I'm an old school Democrat, Brother Ian, part of a dying breed.
Would you call yourself a blue dog Democrat?
A blue dog, that's a new term.
That's like the blue collar, right? Isn't that like the blue collar
I've heard it, but
Democrats?
I'm not sure what it meant. Old school.
Well, I haven't really heard of that. I'd probably be...
Come on.
I would probably be of the type of, say, a Kennedy or before, like that type, you know, that would be of that ilk, if you will. Something is a dying breed.
I don't necessarily disagree
like
with the
dying.
Politics there, Ricky. I'm just confused. Let's say
to death
Pennsylvania legalizes pot, then what? That doesn't bring anyone that... that just allows people to smoke weed, right? I mean, that doesn't do any great, wondrous things for humanity.
Actually, I disagree, because one thing weed will do is, one, right off the top, it will greatly decrease the need for antidepressants. And more importantly, I'm an epileptic, and so my whole life I take Tegretol. If I smoke three medium bowls a day, I don't have to take Tegretol.
Are you chiefing on a pipe right now? Because you were coughing a lot earlier.
No, you know what it is? I think I caught bronchitis from somebody, my lady friend, who I rent a room from, left in the house yesterday. But I think I'm catching bronchitis, unfortunately.
The Blue Dog Democrats are a coalition of moderate House Democrats. So I guess I was wrong. They may not be blue collar. The group is dedicated to fiscally conservative legislation and a strong national defense. They present themselves as the quote-unquote common sense alternative to political extremism.
So they're Republicans, right?
That's kind of weird. I didn't know that.
That's generally what I hear a moderate is, mostly. That moderates tend to lean more to the right than the left, it seems.
Well, when I hear national defense and fiscal conservatism, I don't think Democrats. I think, okay, that's a conservative.
Yeah, me either. I didn't know that.
Considering how Putin's doing over there in Russia, where he's got to get third-party mercenaries to be part of his army to beat the Ukrainians, I don't think we need to pay 90% of our defense budget to beat the Russians, you know?
I don't think we need to, because it's none of our business.
So you're in favor of not subsidizing the Ukrainian military?
I thought about this long and hard. Do I think Putin should be just allowed to run rampant over him? No. And we're not giving him anything that's really great. We're giving him surplus and stuff like that.
Aren't they sending M1 Abrams tanks over now?
They just came up with that now. It's a little late. Everything's destroyed. It's a little late in the game, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure they're sending M1 Abrams tanks to...
Yeah, they did that.
That's some pretty serious equipment. Wow.
That's going to take a while. They got to be trained in all of that. It's going to take a long time.
Well, they're going to do it. Meanwhile, Putin is calling up 500,000 apparently reservists or draftees or whatever.
Well, he's been using third-party mercenaries. You got three different groups.
Okay, so are you in favor of sending American money over to Ukraine or not?
Answer, yes. And here's my reason why. Because they just can't fight against this guy. And
it's the U.S.'s job to back up anybody in the world who is having a conflict. We should get involved in all kinds of international conflicts. That's what you support. That's sort of the status quo.
I don't agree with that either, Ian. This is a tough one, because, like in the case of Israel, I disagree with that for years, us picking the winner or not.
Israel?
You know, Israel.
So stay out of the Israeli conflict, but get into the Ukrainian one? Why?
It's a bad situation. I don't even know if I agree with myself on this.
All right, man. Well, hey, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate the different issues. I appreciate the discussion.
Absolutely.
Here tonight, Ricky. Nice to hear from you. Glad to know you're all right. And thanks for the call tonight. Don't be a stranger.
We can all agree that we all hate Lincoln.
Oh, did he say he hated Lincoln?
He agreed that the state should have been allowed to secede.
True. That's a good point. All right. Out of time for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow online. In the meantime, at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.